Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio. I'm Farm Director Joe Gill on a Saturday morning. Your report brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service right off I-94 in Avon. Nick Schimmick with Pioneer Seeds joining us. He was highlighted during our Pioneer Seeds Seed to Feed this week. And yeah, a lot of folks are starting to get into the field and starting to, hit that corn silage season, starting to see a lot of chopping here going on in central Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like we're early, right? But given the year that we've had, not surprising either. You know, we've been getting some reports that corn moistures for corn silage, again, down to that 65%, depending on when it was in. So, you know, we're kind of getting to that ideal timing for silage. Of course, the other side of things, too, is that we've had above average heat units. We're still riding around 250 heat units above normal since May 1st, subtract about 150 off of that if you're planting around May 15th, but we're still tracking above normal heat. And then, of course, put the dry conditions on top of that, right, that stresses the crop out and moves along even faster. So, you know, you put all that together and it kind of gets us to around that timing for seeds work where silage harvest is getting closer upon us.
Nick talks about the proper moisture depending upon where you're storing corn silage.
Yeah, so we're kind of looking to be in that, when you're looking at muddy, so we're going to be piling it, we're at the 62 to 65%. You know, we can go a little bit drier if we're putting in some upright silos. But that's kind of the ideal time frame is once you drop under 70 is really start checking that moisture to see where you want to be at ideally for that. You know, we've been seeing some of that. Of course, you don't want to get too dry if you're going to be piling it, but you want to try to gain as much tonnage all that as you can, right? So by letting that get down and chopping it too wet, you kind of risk one, giving up a little bit of extra tons you can get or a little bit extra starch deposition you may be able to get, and you may be getting a little bit extra mucin or a little bit of effluent and a runoff from that, too. So you kind of don't want to chop it too early. That'd be my only watch out, too, here is as we get into drought stress, we can kind of go into two different ways. We can look at it being getting too dry on us too fast and not be able to pack that very well if you're putting it on a pile, or you still might be more moisture than you think. And we start chopping it too wet, and then we're really not getting the complete starch deposition that we want, and maybe have more runoff. So, you know, we got to be careful there, too, when we're looking at some of these drought stress fields. It can kind of be hard to judge, and the best way is when you get in there and start taking some burn down samples and seeing where you're at for your moistures.
Nick Schimmick with Pioneer Seeds joining us on your Central Minnesota Farm Report. He talks about as well, especially with our dry weather, how quickly some of that corn can dry down. He gives us a few examples.
About half to a point a day going down. You know, so that's where the higher temperature days may push that a little bit faster. You know, we are going to get very hot over the weekend again as we kind of get into the Labor Day weekend. So we may start seeing these start to drop down pretty fast as well. So we might be closer to that point and maybe a little bit above. So that's where we get into some of these more moderate temps. It might be a little bit slower, but a good estimate's around that half to a point. So if you're at 70%, give it about 7 days, you know, you could be losing 3.5 to 7 points, you know, depending on that. So it can catch up to you really quick when we get to be in some of these really warm temperatures as well.
Nick also talks about soybean condition right now, and you know what? August makes beans, they always say. Now we're in September. And also I mentioned to Nick, too, that some farmers have expressed some concern over possible spider mites in their soybean fields.
Kind of been a little bit of everything for soybeans, depending on, I guess, where you're at. You know, I go into some pockets of central Minnesota, and they actually had to deal with some aphid pressure, and they had to spray for aphids, and then we had to go in some other pockets as you go into some drier pockets where you got some more of the spider mites that are causing problems. You know, some of these holes, it seems like we're seeing, too, as you get into that upper canopy, a lot of grasshoppers that were starting to come in late as well. Didn't seem to be a ton of Japanese beetles this year, but there's a little bit of green clove worm that was coming in there, some thistle caterpillars. So any of those kind of chewing insects that were causing some of those holes in the top were kind of coming apparent. It seems like for a lot of those ones, we didn't have a ton of defoliation, at least to the point where it wanted a spray application, but yet it was very noticeable too as we got into later. You know, we're kind of getting to the stage two for soybeans. We're getting past what we call that R6 stage, which is kind of what we would call for our spray threshold timing, our cutoff, or our staging for soybeans. Essentially, the R6 is when you get a full seed within those pods in the upper third of the canopy. So we're kind of starting to hit that point, and soybeans are starting to actually turn. It seems like starting to turn a little bit, too. So we're starting to hit that point where getting past R6, almost getting to R7, and they're starting to turn and get progressed towards maturity, too.
Shimmick talks more about soybeans right now and if there is any more opportunity for some of those pods to abort with some of this more dry weather. He talks about and gives us more insight.
Yeah, so at R6 stage, we've kind of set our total number of flowerings done. That was done around R5. So really the things that we can abort yet would be those last pods that were to set. You look at some of those top clusters and maybe some of those pods, and it seems like they started to set. Now, of course, these dry conditions may determine whether or not those actually continue to form into a fully developed pod. But really, as you get to R6 and later, what we're more influencing more than anything else is seed weight, so and seed size. We've kind of started to set how many seeds are going to be within that pod for the most part. We've already set basically how many number of pods that we're going to have. So really, as you get to this point in the season, really what we're looking at is how big are those pods going to get. And you look at a couple of years ago when we had some dry conditions, that August, September time frame, we were able to catch some rain, some late season rains, and really fill out some of those pods and add some seed size and able to make up for some yield. So that's what we're kind of looking at now. You know, if we can catch some moisture here, are we able to help fill out some of those pods that maybe got aborted or some seeds that got aborted and give us some more size and make up for some yield?
Nick Shimmick with Pioneer Seeds joining us on Chasm Radio on your Central Minnesota Farm Report. Now, when it comes to alfalfa, I mentioned to Nick, can farmers still plan on getting one more cutting if it's ready to go yet as we enter September?
Yeah, we're still kind of sitting okay right now as we get through Labor Day. I think feel like we're still sitting okay for that what we call before that no cut window. A rough time frame for that no cut window for us here in Minnesota is roughly September 7th through October 15th. What I mean by that is that's the kind of time frame where we don't really want to get caught by cutting and then either not have enough time to give us enough regrowth and get caught and not be able to set us up for a better winter and be able to overwinter better. So we kind of want to be able to get either 500 GDUs after cutting to be able to maintain and help them with regrowth and get enough regrowth to help set us up with enough reserves to make us through winter. Or we want to hold off cutting until after we get less than 200 GDUs, so usually after that first frost or so. So it's kind of hard to determine when we're going to get those GDUs, right, depending on how the fall is. So a rough time frame is that September 7th through October 15th. So we have a little bit of time here yet if we want to be able to put down a fourth crop to be able to get that, or if we want to hold off between then and go a little bit later after that first frost, probably wait until after that mid-October mark is usually the better bet on that type of thing.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio for a Saturday morning. I'm Joe Gill. It's brought to you each week by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service right off I-94 in Avon. Check them out. You will find a trailer that's going to fit your each and every need. For Chasm Radio, I'm Farm Director Joe Gill. Have a good weekend.